the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you won't hear this from me very often, but I come to you this morning with a little bit of encouragement. A little encouragement in my heart. Now, wait a minute. That's not true. I always have encouragement in my heart. I think I've told you before, my mom, even when I was a young kid, my mom always called me the cockeyed optimist. I've always, in my whole life, always believed that we were either winning or going to win. I never, until the clock ran out, I never, ever thought we would lose. It was like Connie Mack, or it was Connie Mack or Leo DeRocher or one of those guys, one of those early baseball managers. He had a line he always told his players. He said, "Hey boys, keep it close and I'll think of something." That's the way I always live my life. Keep it close and I'll think of something. And so boys, we got to paddle, we got to keep it close. Let's keep it close and maybe we can think of something. And I'm encouraged today because yesterday, you guys, you know, I went back to Worthington High School yesterday, Thomas Worthington High School, with those 100 seniors. And usually I come home and I'm just, especially if 2 days of it is just more than a guy can take. But you know what? Goodness gracious, yesterday, hey, I taped it, by the way. I have it on tape. I got to figure out how to let everybody hear it. I had two different students in two different classes that both taped the presentation. And it was the most unbelievable open discussion of Christianity and salvation and morality that I have ever had with a group of 100 seniors. It was unbelievable. They were so open. They were so open to hear. Usually they're very, very anti-religion, anti-whatever, bigot, judgmental, homophobe, sexist. And I'm telling you, man, yesterday, because I started out yesterday with the most powerful thing, and you'll get to hear this some point when I get this whole thing put together. I started out with I told him, listen, I said, you know what the problem is, guys? I said, before I get started, I said, when I leave here and I go home, I drive home 45 minutes, and all day I'm home, I'm reflecting on what just took place and what we're going to do tomorrow and trying to self-evaluate how I could have done a better job. And I don't want to come across as this, and I don't want to come across as that. But here's my evaluation of you, I said to all of them. I said, you know what? Here's the truth. You guys don't believe anything. You have nothing you believe. You are just skulls full of mush. They bring you in this school, and they tell you lies, and you turn on the TV and they tell you lies, and you listen to music and they tell you lies. And right now at age 18 years old, you don't believe anything. And at what point are you going to begin to dig in and say, you know what? This is what I believe and I ain't moving. And brothers, it was unbelievable. The questions that started coming out of those kids in regards to faith and God and the afterlife and the devil. It was amazing. I'm encouraged today. I was encouraged today. For the first time ever, I didn't leave there with a great big burden on my shoulders of, oh, Lord. And you know what I know? I know this. If we can get to those kids, if we can get to them, there's still a chance. And I said, you know, to those guys yesterday, you know, you guys think I'm crazy? Stuff I'm talking about's crazy? Your grandma and grandpa believed this. Your great-grandparents believed this. Your parents were taught this. But the truth is, if I wanted to be football coach at Worthington High School, they wouldn't let me be football coach. Why wouldn't they let me be football coach? Because of what I'm teaching you today. They wouldn't let me come in here. But I can come in here and be an atheist. I can come in here and be a homosexual. I can come in here and be a tree hugger. I can come in here and be an evolutionist. But I can't come in here and be a Christian. Don't you see something wrong with that? Man, it was powerful. It was powerful. I get to do it again tomorrow. Two more days at a different school. I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged. Hey, guys. I don't know which is worse. The fruit of our schools or the fruit of our churches. I don't know which is worse. I saw both yesterday. I saw a coming together of those two, a clashing of those two kingdoms. I can tell you this. What they have been taught in their school, in their mind, trumps what they've been taught in their church. That's sad. That's a sad, sad thing. And we have a huge, huge battle in front of us. I hear somebody
well,
trying to get
say on that because they spend more time at the school.
Yep.
But, they're more familiar with it. Yeah.
Well, sure, Chad, but not only that, the time they do spend in church is basically worthless. It doesn't teach them anything about righteousness and sin and hell in the spiritual world. I had kids ask me yesterday about demons. Can you believe that? In a public school, the opportunity to talk to them about demons in the spiritual world, and not everybody is a Christian and what it means, and that Jesus never made anybody be a Christian. It's a choice. And faith, what is faith? And said, so listen, I just asked this simple question, and a pall went over the world. I said, is the sun going to come up tomorrow? And I focused in on some guy. Maybe it was Tony. I can't remember his. Hey, Tony, is the sun coming up tomorrow? And he said, yeah. So how do you know that? He says, the sun always comes up. I said, I know, but how do you know it's coming up tomorrow? He says, the sun always comes up in the morning. Yeah, I know that, Tony, but how do you know it's going to come up tomorrow? And the place went silent. And said, can I tell you how, Tony? Faith. Faith. Everything you believe about tomorrow is based on faith. And you want to laugh and make fun of Christianity that's based on faith? Prove to me tomorrow the sun's coming up. He can't do it. But you want me to prove Jesus was real? You want me to prove? And then some other kid raises his hand. He says, well, coach, I think he called me coach. He said, listen, he said, the Bible. He said, how do we know the Bible's true? Because it was just written down by Jesus' soldiers. See, he didn't know anything. Just written down by his soldiers or his supporters. How do we know that what the Bible says is true? I said, let me tell you something. How do you know the truth of George Washington? How do you know the truth of George Washington? Somebody wrote it down? Do you question George Washington? Because one of his friends wrote it down? That's powerful, man. As I'm telling you. So I'm encouraged today that we can still make a difference. It isn't usually like that. It's usually a war zone, the war zone. But I'm going to also tell you this. They, you hear me? Listen to me. Our kids love abortion. They love abortion. Living in the butts. It's a baby butt. It's a live butt. But hey, Chad, your emotions will betray you. Your emotions will betray you, brother. I saw that yesterday. Okay. So I'm in a good mood. I got several things I want to share with you. Ray, God is moving in the heart of the youth. And I've been trying to get everybody to understand this. It's a counterculture. It's a counterculture. What if we could turn our kids against the lies of the school? What if the church educated? See, we hear people say they want to send their kids into church or into school where they can be salt. They want to send them in there where they can be light. Hey, how about this? How about if we really did that? How about if we really, 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 really trained them to earnestly contend for the faith in that hellhole called the public school? Then we might get somewhere where kids would stand up and be able to challenge evolution, which I was able to do yesterday. It's powerful to be able to question the lies that they're hearing. It's powerful. But see, we send our children in there not to challenge truth, but to bury the truth and accept the lies of the government schools. I'm encouraged today. Did I say that? Yeah, I'm encouraged. Got 25 people. We're heading for 30. Come on, five more of you jump in here. We got some newbies in here with us today. So I'm going to do the show tomorrow. Mark Trump's with us. I'll set Mark up later on here. Can we celebrate a minute? Hey, Jared, let's go down there, Jared. Jared, play that first YouTube video, the very first YouTube video. And I want you guys to think about this as you watch this. If there's a theme of today's show, it's this. In fact, I think I'm going to write. Today's when I write on News with Views. I write on Wednesday. There's two Americas. is two Americas. And the two Americas, our America, my America, Donald Trump's America, is not represented anywhere that you see. Not any and anywhere in the media do you find mom and pop America represented. Nowhere. Nowhere. We were talking before we came on, we were talking about the elections down in Virginia, and I said, who cares? All the Virginia elections are controlled by Alexandria up around Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is Virginia. It is Virginia. So all those government employees, all those Democrats up there, they control all the elections down in Virginia. So anything that happened down there, to me, it's an outlier. Doesn't even matter. Doesn't matter. And the media is going to try to portray it. Oh, see, the worm's turning. Oh, the worm's turning. Well, don't forget, first of all, Hillary carried Virginia, right? Hillary carried. And so they're trying to win a governorship with a guy named Ed Gillespie. Who's Ed Gillespie, right? He's trying, what? So don't let them. They're trying to discourage you. Let's just get rolling here, okay? I want you to sit back and I want you to enjoy. Jared, are we ready to go? I want you to enjoy five. I'm going to show you. Here is one side of America that is controlling everything, the agenda that people think are real Americans, and they're not. 1 year ago today. Go ahead, Jared.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen.
Donald Trump will not be called president.
It's garbled on my end, Jared.
He's not going to be president. He is not. Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
All right.
You think if he becomes the president, he'll make it great because the states is already great.
I think that man will be president of the United States right about the time that spaceships come down filled with dinosaurs and red capes.
On that note, Tom.
Take it
Thank
from me.
Much.
How about that?
Yes,
and then, of course, there's Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
So when you stand and deliver that State of the Union address, in no part of your mind or brain can you imagine Donald Trump standing up one day and delivering a State of the Union address?
Well, I can imagine it in a Saturday night skit.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
He will never be president of the United States.
And we better be ready for the fact that he might be leading the Republican ticket next.
I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on.
Sorry to laugh.
Okay, here we are. And which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
And so, right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say, you're not going to be president, all right? It's been fun. It's been great. I love you. But come on, buddy. All, let's say, cow poo-poo aside, there is zero chance we'll be seeing you being sworn in on the Capitol steps with your hand on a giant golden Bible.
I'll make a prediction, though, for you. And I don't really get into predictions much, but this one I'll go way out on a limb. Donald Trump will never, ever be president of the United States. That Trump should not be in this race. He's an absurdity. He is a travesty.
Donald Trump will never be elected president of the United States.
Donald Trump is the here today, gone tomorrow candidate for president of the United States. Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Ever respectful of the fact that the people have not voted, he's not going to be president of the United States.
Let's be clear. Donald Trump will lose the election.
I mean, he had a really good chance to be different and really have a chance to change things, but yeah. he doesn't do the work. He's lazy.
We talk about him every day and we continuously bash him.
He's not going to be the president. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
I
to be a wake-up call to the Republican Party. Despite Boris thinking that Donald Trump could win New York, like this, the presidential race is over.
Could I just cut through? I have one thing to say, one thing only, and that is that this race is over. Tomorrow morning, the money will dry up. The Republicans will start to hide. Trump has no place to go. This race, effectively, as of tonight, is no longer a presidential race. Everything I know about presidential politics, and I've been through five of them, I've never seen one like this. This race is over. You might as well accept it. And the question now is, how do you minimize damage? And the only way you can do that, it seems to me, is to try to grab hold of some old conservative value things and do what Mondale did in 84, which is try to save a few people down ballot. But as far as Donald Trump's concerned, it will never, ever, ever happen.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
Oh, this is going to get into Mandela effect. The Simpsons predict Trump's going to win 16 years ago. Okay, you can stop that now. Listen, folks, this is showing us, not only am I celebrating it a year ago today. Hey, Jared, pull the next one up there, brother. The very next one says post-election. Folks, listen, there is nothing that can be more obvious to any of us than what we just watched and what we're about to watch, that the media is in the tank for the other side. It's in the tank for the other side. And we need to be encouraged, and we need to understand that no matter how they try to manipulate it, no matter how, there's still a lot of us that ain't drank the Kool-Aid yet, haven't drunk the Kool-Aid yet, a lot of us that haven't done it. This is about a four-minute clip now. Now think about this. Two Americas, right? We see an America that just elected Trump. We're getting ready to watch his video. An America that just elected Trump. And watch the reaction of the media. And we should have known right at that very beginning, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? See, these guys, this thing was so rigged that everybody knew Hillary was going to win. It was so rigged.
Coach, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's been a year of our winning.
It's amazing. Now, listen. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me here. Because I want you to watch the reaction. You talk about unbiased. You talk about folks in the tank. Watch the reaction of these people who come into our living rooms every night and give us the news, and watch their reaction and how biased and in the tank they were for Hillary and how much they are part of this deep state. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
This is the time for real wisdom. Lightning round.
If Trump wins, how about bursting into tears and screaming fuck for the next 45 minutes?
Well, America is crying tonight. I'm not sure how much of America.
I wasn't crying.
A very, very significant portion. And I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset. And it is the end of their world.
Feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last night.
Right.
And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
How do we explain how this is possible?
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now. Because we're going to be fucked and we're going to have to live with it.
You're awake.
Can you believe their language?
You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
This is a different earth today than it was 24 hours ago. It's a different place of.
Well, they're excited, aren't they?
The woman who President Obama called the most qualified person ever to run for the White House couldn't break through. The question remains, who can?
Deeper concerns tonight that the world's shining light of democracy has gone dark.
Decency.
Is this unbelievable?
Last night, and that's what's so hurtful about this.
This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country
It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes.
I kind of push back against the advancement of African Americans, of Hispanics, of women, of Muslim Americans.
It is a mourning moment for those people, and it is a moment filled with fear.
Because I'm on this network and people know my attitudes about things.
Hey, Jared, pause it a second.
Scared.
Folks, do you listen? Don't miss this. Hang on. Don't miss this. These people are incapable of realizing that 65 million people are rejoicing. They were rejoicing. And these guys are acting like the president of the United States was assassinated. They are incapable of being able to relate to people out in the hinterland. They think like this because they are all they are ever around. They and people who think like them in a bubble, and these are the ones that are the deep state that we are fighting against right now to try to reclaim the government. Watch how heartsick they all are. No joy. No joy on anybody. Keep going, Jared.
Depressed, despair, desperate even, almost clinging to me.
It was a rough night for everybody, yeah. I think. We're worried. The people are worried. You know, okay, he's the president. Now what?
It feels like we're trying to avoid the apocalypse, and half of the country is voting for the asteroid.
Is there a doomsday plan for a time like this? Am I right to ask about a doomsday plan? Do you see this as a doomsday scenario?
So if Donald Trump is democratically elected and your son is serving as a Marine, you wouldn't trust his life under that commander-in-chief? And Kane said, I wouldn't. That's a pretty extraordinary thing to say.
I didn't trust anything Obama did.
And that you don't trust the commander-in-chief. The people in the military defend the Constitution.
I can't put a happy face on that. And that's my job.
This is the first time throughout this entire race where I'm officially shitting my pants. I genuinely do not understand how America can be this disorganized or this hateful.
How do you govern when your whole campaign was built on the hatred of somebody else?
From slavery to, you know, Nazism, we have faced challenges before to who we are as a people.
The Supreme Court, who knows where that's going to go. So the only checks and balances we have are us, The View. How are you supposed to be able to handle it?
To the best ad campaign, the best ground game. This is a shot against meritocracy, I think, because she merited everything. The normal way you standardize these things, she did what she's supposed to do to win.
You know, she was Hillary Clinton, the most qualified candidate, the best suited for the job, the best temperament. Now we're hearing not a good candidate.
History is put on hold yet again.
We have no idea who won. And to cover our bases, we take two different show opens. First up, here's the outcome I'm hoping for. Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States. But just in case the unthinkable has happened and Donald Trump is our new president, the show open would look something like this. Oh, hello.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, fellas? Isn't it unbelievable to see the open, the open propaganda so obviously exposed? It was a year ago today. Well, the 8th. It was actually a year ago yesterday, but it would be today, wouldn't it? It would be like they'd be waking up on Wednesday morning and thinking. It was amazing to watch those reactions. What do you think? I got something else to show you first, but reactions.
Love it. Love it. Every bit of it. It's just beautiful. Huh?
They're acting, really, fellas, they were acting like we were just invaded. They were acting like New York City was bombed and Washington, D.C. was bombed and Chicago was, like, they were in mourning. And you know what? They really believed it. They really believed it, and they still have not given up on it. So for those of us, I hate to say I was out in front of it. I was out in front of it because I knew that there was no difference between Republican and Democrat. Hey, Jared, can we do it again, Jared? I hate to continue to do it. Let's go to Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2. Are you there, Silver? I know you are, Joe. Joe, I want you to read Psalm 2 for us again, and you tell me that what we just watched is not this, that this is that. Will you read that, Joe? It's up on the screen. Psalm 2.
Here we go. Here we go. It takes a little minute to get over this. This is so much fun.
It is fun, isn't it? It's a year. Psalm First 2. Of all, where did that year go? How could that have been it's a gone. Year ago? Man, oh, man. Go ahead.
All right. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens.
Let me stop there, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Let me stop there a second. Folks, listen, don't miss this. Remember, the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord. It's the kings of the earth and the rulers who are saying about the Lord, let us break their bands. Let's get this religion off of us. Let's get this Ten Commandments off of us. Let's get this Christianity off of us. That's what the heathen are saying. And then the Lord responds, Joe, verse 4.
He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure.
He sure did.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's wheel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him.
Oh, man, I get goosebumps just reading it. See, again, it comes back to this idea. Guys, how do we get this idea that we're supposed to lose? Where did that idea come from other than, dare I say it, I'm sorry, this heretical dispensationalism that it's all just going to wind down and get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and so therefore we can't do anything about it, and we just got to get inside of our churches and just pray for the blessings of the Lord. When in fact, the Lord says, hey, see these dudes? Let's go take them on, man. We're going to crush their teeth. We're going to break them with a bell of iron. Let's go get it. This is an entire different view of Christianity. It was awesome yesterday because I was able to explain to those high school kids yesterday the difference between Christianity and religion, and how I hate religion, and that everything you see and everything you've been taught is religion. But the Bible says a pure and undefiled religion is to do what? To rescue the woman and orphan in their time of need, right? Isn't that what it says? Pure and undefiled religion, right? Right? See, the pure and undefiled religion is to take what you believe and actually live it out. And then what those kids were able to see yesterday is all the rules and regulations and baptisms. It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And see, I think it's a growing group. I think we're going to win.
Hey, Coach.
I think Jesus is going to come back victorious. That's what I think. Yeah, Vince.
I don't think kids get to ask those questions. I think that's what it was. They got an opening. They got.
Yep. You know? And they don't even understand what baptism was. somebody asked me about baptism. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? And I got to talk about the thief on the cross and this day you'll be with me in paradise and what baptism is. And so, and a kid raises his hand and says, well, isn't baptism an outward expression of what happened inside of you? And I said, yeah. And I got to go into that about being the Spirit of God coming down and filling. It was awesome. Hey. So I saw again that truth conquers lies. I saw it. They saw it. Yeah, Raj.
They let you come back with the same people a second time, and that's new, correct?
Yes.
And I think that may illustrate also, one, how the Holy Spirit works in people.
Amen. Amen.
Or believer and non-believer. I guess not the non-believer, but you know what I'm saying. How God can move a person's heart. But more importantly, this is going to be hard work. This is not going to be once an hour and a half on Wednesday night. This is going to be hard work, and you're going to have to get into the trenches with these kids.
Right, we do. And Roger, the youth groups aren't cutting. They're just not cutting it. And God bless you for doing the Sunday school, but that one hour, we ain't going to cut it, man. We've got to do a radical transformation of education of our children. And J.R. and I were talking before we went on the air. I cannot believe the number of school levies that passed in Ohio. I just cannot believe it. I cannot believe the number of people who continue to vote to pay more money to the government. It is. I don't know what to say. I don't know. It's amazing. So I wanted you to get a feel for a little bit of celebratory from what happened a year ago today, because sometimes we forget, right? And remember that those same people are whining and moaning. They're still on TV today, and they're still giving you the news about what's going on in America, and they're still giving you the news about Donald Trump. And yeah. Let our eyes be open. So listen, I want to shift gears now because this is critical. The Lord showed me this so clearly. Hey, guys, you want to see the other America? You want to see the other America? Hey, Jared, click on Hero, because here's the other America. Here's the America that you'll never see. This is this good old boy down there in Texas. Let me tell you the story real quickly. This good old boy in Texas. I watched the video of him last night, the one who actually shot. This guy actually shot this Devin guy. This old boy did. He was an NRA instructor, and I saw a long video interview with him yesterday. I'm not going to show you the whole thing, but he said he was sitting in his house. He lived about a half a block or a block away from the church, and all of a sudden he heard a sound. And he thought somebody was tapping on his window. He thought he was tapping on his window. Couldn't figure out what it was. And then his daughter was out in the kitchen. His daughter comes in and says, "Dad, do you hear gunshots?" He says, "Oh, no, that's not gunshots." He's an NRA instructor. Says, "No, that's not gunshots." And when he opened the door, and he heard gunshots, he knew it was gunshots. And he ran over, and he got his gun out of the safe, out of his gun safe. He grabbed an AR because he thought he didn't know what he was facing. But he grabbed an AR, and he said he grabbed a handful of shells. He didn't even know how many shells, and he's stuffing them in his clip as he's going out the door. Doesn't even put shoes on. He said he didn't even put shoes on because he knew every shot that was being fired was hitting somebody. This is the real America. This guy here is the real America. We've lost sight of it, see, because of these scumbags on TV, because of right wing watching Kyle Mann, all those guys, all that crap, all that bilge that they're feeding us through the media, all of that builds. The heathen are raging, and they're lying, and they're lying, and lying. Take 4 minutes here, guys, and watch Real America. This is Real America. Go ahead, Jared.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, we're just down the street right now from the Baptist Church here in Sutherland Springs, where the gunman opened fire right behind me right now. I'm going to point out this black truck that some officers are walking in front of right now. That is the truck that Stephen Williford got behind as he approached to confront the gunman yesterday and began to open fire. Now, this area right here is personal for me, in fact, as I know this area a little bit. I am actually very close friends with the Williford family, and he says that for the community that this is something that it impacts him very deeply.
I didn't have any time because I kept hearing the shots one after another, very rapid shots, just pop, pop, pop. And I knew every one of those shots represented someone, that it was aimed at someone, that they weren't just random shots, more than likely. I grabbed a handful of ammunition and started loading my magazine. And I'm trying to survey the situation, not knowing what's going on. And then I saw a man in a black tactical helmet with a dark shaded helmet on, and obviously looked to me like it was bulletproof vest, and he had a pistol in his hand, and we exchanged gunfire. He saw me and I saw him, and when I was standing behind a pickup truck for cover, and we exchanged, I'm like, it was surreal to me. It couldn't be happening. I could not believe it. We chased him down 539, and when we first started chasing him, he was out of sight, and the man driving the truck was I found out later, his name is Johnny. He was driving at a high rate of speed, and we were trying to pass cars and catch up, and we were called 911, and we were talking to 911. I was scared for me, and I was scared for every one of them, and I was scared for my own family that just lived less than a block away. I'm no hero. I am not. I think my God, my Lord, protected me and gave me the skills to do what needed to be done. And I just wish I could have gotten there faster.
To America,
now,
boys.
Coming up tonight at...
To America. You can stop that, Jared. To America. Hang on, man. I got to answer this. To America. Somebody jump in here.
Coach, I think it's such an incredible divine appointment. To the fact is that, you know, yesterday, a year ago, went to bed, you yourself and many of us, with no hope, thinking Clinton would win, and to wake up that there was the mercy of the Lord on a nation. And then you went to bed yesterday after hearing the heaviness of your heart about your rally at the school yesterday, to hear you wake up this morning with the hope for our schools.
Mm.
Amen?
Dale, I woke up with a hope for our schools if we would invade them. If we would invade them.
Yep.
I wake up with a hope for it, see. But see, it's not going to happen unless godly men in the pulpit begin to directly preach towards this topic and how we are losing our children, how we can still rescue our children, but that the government schools are corrupting our children. And while we are trying to reclaim the schools, we got to get our kids out. We have got to get our kids out, arm them, train them, and then go back into them. As it is right now, Dale, the Christian leadership in America does not understand the depth of the destruction of the government schools. They don't get it. We need a quickening in the heart of our pastors to understand the battle that lies before us. Jump in here, JR. Am I missing that one?
No, you're right. I want to note something about this fellow that shot the gunman. And I didn't think about this until I heard the interview. He really had no idea what he was walking into. He didn't know where this...
JR, he had no idea. I'm sorry to interrupt. I got to tell you this. He does an interview with Stephen Crowder, Louder with Crowder. It's about 35 minutes. I wasn't going to take the time to share this. You know what he said? It is unbelievable. He said that when he stepped out there, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. He told them that the Holy Spirit of God fell upon me. He said, I can't explain how the Lord gave me tunnel vision, and I could see, and I knew. And he goes on to tell, because he was of his training, he goes on to tell the story that he saw the guy had the Kevlar vest. He had on the bulletproof vest, and he knew how a bulletproof vest fit. He knew exactly how it fit. And so he waited for his opportunity, and when he would, with his AR-15, he drew down, and he shot the guy between the gap of the Kevlar vest directed by the Holy Spirit. Is that unbelievable? Stephen Crowder didn't know what to say because Stephen Crowder don't know what the Holy Spirit is. Man, oh, man. Go ahead, JR. I'm sorry.
You took the words out of my mouth. Exactly what I was going to say. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait,
hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, I listened to that interview with Crowder yesterday, and as soon as he said that, my heart leaped. And my next thought was, I bet pulpits are cringing over what that man just said.
I bet so. Because, hey, Rich, what is he saying? That the Holy Spirit directed him to shoot that sucker.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Made him cringe.
Made him cringe, brother. So, hey, guys, if you take the time, find Stephen Crowder, Louder with Crowder. It's about, you know, it was really funny, but Stephen Crowder is a funny guy, and he's one of us. But Stephen Crowder don't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say when this good old boy, this good old deplorable, this good old probably Trump supporter said that the Holy Spirit of God fell upon him. And he ain't no hero. That God just worked through him. It was one of the most powerful things that I've ever seen. Yes.
Coach, hey,
Could you see his buddy took over for him and interviewed him? Did you see his shirt? Did you see his shirt he had on?
No.
It says, buy a gun, annoy a liberal. Right on national television.
you just mentioned that the pastors are flummoxed. They don't know what to do because the Holy Spirit just told that guy to shoot the SOB. Well, what is even worse than that is the pastors have been telling the people the Holy Spirit doesn't even speak to people anymore.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. That's what they tell them, doesn't it? He doesn't speak to them anymore. But here's the point. Here's the point I'm trying to get, man. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. The Lord's doing something. There are two Americas. We are in a physical. Hey, guys, it's a spiritual war, but it's a physical war. We're in a physical war. Do you have any idea whether this guy's an MK Ultra? By the way, I got to even bring that up in the schools yesterday. I told him Google MK Ultra, talking about the spiritual world and what's going on. I told him, you guys, I don't have time to talk about it. Google MK Ultra. Maybe this guy was demon possessed in a public school. I got to tell him that. Can you believe it? So, guys, we're to be encouraged today. We're to be encouraged today. The Lord's doing something. We can't miss it. We have to have the eyes to see and understand the Lord is doing something. That right down in this hotbed, down in the middle of Texas, some old guy gets out there and gets to testify that the Holy Spirit of God filled him and directed him and protected him. The Holy Spirit of God did. And Rich, the Holy Spirit of God directed him to shoot that guy. Man, somebody else. What time is it? We got a bit. I'm sorry, man.
Hey, Coach. This is, I've watched the videos and watched the interviews. It's just, I feel like that whenever the French Revolution happened and our pastors led us into battle to preserve our freedom, we are so far from that. Americans should be armed. That's not a question. But what I'd like to say is tomorrow, just real briefly, I'm going to provide data points. I'm a data guy. So this is a data point. Christians having to face that the Holy Spirit's directing action. This is a data point in our time right now. It's just one fact. It's a truth that goes along with many more that hopefully we can cover in the next couple days. I really appreciate you digging this up, and you really deserve to be encouraged for all the work you do, Dave. Keep it up.
Well, brother, it's like that old boy just said, the Holy Spirit falls upon me. At the end of that thing, I don't know if we watched the end of it. He said, I'm no hero. I'm not a hero. See, I told you, heroes never think they're heroes because something supernatural comes upon you and you simply act. Simply act. See, here's what I think all of us ought to do. We ought to all show up at our churches Sunday carrying a stinking gun. That's what we ought to do. We ought to be sending a very loud message to that 6-foot icicle standing in our pulpit that I ain't putting up with it anymore. And you can fight that spiritual battle if you want to, brother. But I'm going to sit here and I'm going to fight that physical battle when it manifests. And I'm not going to go around and I'm not going to be shooting people. But I can promise you this. When some guy comes walking in that door with an AR-15 or whatever he comes walking in that door, he better shoot fast because he's going down, baby. That ain't very Christian, is it, Mark? That ain't very Christian. God help us, man.
Sir, you have to protect yourself. You have a mission beyond that gunman coming in your door. You preserve your life. You got work to do.
You preserve others' lives. This old boy didn't even have shoes on. He didn't even put his. He said, "I didn't have time to put my shoes on. Every shot was directed at somebody. I didn't have time to go get my shoes." Now, Mark, hang on, Joe, before you come back in. Mark, what's a data point? Explain to us what you meant by that. This is a data point.
Point is the truth, and until the data point becomes trended with other data points that support that source, it's just a single fact. It's not a trend. But once you have data points that add up and they all point to the same thing, I'll give you an example. Let's look at the earthquakes, all the different things going on the world, the volcanic activity, the solar flares, the tectonic plate movement. There's a single source for all of those anomalies. Otherwise, you have to look at all the different problems going on. So that's not how trends work. So data points can be used to uncover a larger singular effect. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing end times. We're seeing promises fulfilled. We're seeing prophecy right before our eyes. I feel we're the most blessed generation because, well, other than the first church that walked with Christ and the disciples, but I mean, of all the generations, this we get to be a part of this. We get the mission. Amen.
That's right. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I just got a text message. If they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, they're by default filled with the evil spirit. There's two Americas. Brother, there's two Americas. Joe, you were going to say something.
It's either one or the other, and he's exactly right. But for some reason, when we were talking about all this, you had mentioned about the widows and orphans, and I wanted to just maybe translate into modern English for the rest of the world to listen to. James 1:27. Right. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In modern English, we will say, because a lot of abortion comes from girls who are seduced, not necessarily raped, but seduced, and then all of a sudden they're pregnant, and then he's gone. Okay? You could classify that as a marriage. You could classify that as her becoming a widow, and that child that's within her is an orphan because there is no father.
And the wife is a widow. Joe, I know this from personal experience. Most of the women come to the clinic without the guy that impregnated them. They've been deserted. It's the great lie of feminism. It's allowed men the right to be irresponsible. It's given men cover for going out and fornicating, impregnating a woman, and then not taking responsibility for what they've done. That is the lie of feminism. And as I said yesterday, that spirit is alive and well in our public schools, and I can tell you this, those young girls will fight for the right to kill their baby. They are fighting for that right, man. They're coming up with every excuse. They're living in the butts, living in their lives in the butts. Yeah, I know it's a baby, but. Yeah, I know it's a baby, but. Yeah, I know it's a baby, but. Yeah, I know it's murder, but. And we're letting them get away with living in the butts. We got to put a stop to it, man. We just got to put a stop to it. And the only way to do it is to be bold, be strong, and to speak the truth. Be bold because the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Most men ain't got any, how can I say it, male. You know what I'm talking about. Most men are cowardly. Most men are afraid to stand up and speak the truth. Most men are afraid of what their wife's going to say. Most men are afraid of what their boss is going to say. Most men are afraid of what their co-worker is going to say. Most men are afraid of, I don't even know what they're afraid of. And look at the stinking mess that we have. Look at it. And then this old boy comes out with no shoes on. Can you imagine him stuffing that mat thing as he's walking out, just putting those shells in there, not having any idea what he's coming upon, but he knew every shot being fired, was aimed at somebody. Do you know right now that the devil's firing shots aimed at somebody, and most of you aren't doing a damn thing? He grabbed what he had and went after. My mic's sliding down. I got a little bit too excited here today. That's the real America.
Passion, Cody. Passion.
That's the real America. I'm looking for men. I'm looking for them. I know they are. And see, listen. Hey, Mark, you're right. It's a data point. That most of America is going to look around and look at that old boy down there in Texas and ask themselves, yeah, he's right. Maybe I need to do something. At what point did being Christian mean? Hang on a minute. At what point did being Christian mean setting yourself up as a sitting duck? When the Bible said greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends, he's talking about a guy sitting in his house who hears shooting, grabs his AR, and don't even put on his shoes. It doesn't mean go out there and allow him to slaughter you. It means to go lay your life down to stop the slaughter. Go ahead.
Data point. If enough Christians follow this gentleman's, this believer in Christ's example, the data points will become a reaction. It's a truth. This is the bottom line. You can share this with your teenagers. If you got enough data, it's no longer an opinion. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's neutral.
Right.
It's just data. To ignore the fact when it's data, hypocritical to, if you can present the data in a way that they have to look at it, then that's where the change comes. You're doing that with these kids. You're presenting the data they've never heard. It's trending in their minds, and they don't have an argument. They don't even know how to argue. Critical thinking is gone.
Mark,
believe your approach.
Thank you, man, because here's what it is. See, folks, listen. Yesterday, I would not let them – I didn't even know I was doing it. I would not let them squirm away from the data. Mark, I kept bringing them back to the data. I would not let them squirm away and say, hey, Chad, your emotions will betray you. I actually used that line. And I said, you guys are not thinking. You're thinking emotionally. You're not looking at the facts. You're not looking at science. You're denying what's going on. 1,000 years from now, when they dig up Bruce Jenner and the scientists study him, he'll be a man. That's the fact. That's the truth. Quit letting all this other crap get in your head. Start thinking clearly. Find something you believe in and stand up for it.
Amen, brother. I'll
tell you this. They ain't never heard anything like that.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, if I left the church 7, 8, 9 years ago, couldn't stomach it any longer. If a church in the area began to make men mandatorily carry weapons to church, I'd become a member in a heartbeat, and I know many other men that would do the exact same thing.
Isn't that something? Hey, Rich, maybe that's a way to reclaim that church, huh? Get rid of those sissy men and get some real men back in there, right?
Amen.
And Rich, why are you carrying that gun? Because you want to be shooting a lot of people, so that's why you're carrying that gun?
Because I want to protect them ladies right there.
Brother, that's the greatest thing that you could do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Hey, Rich, just Louisiana. You got a pastor down there. His name is Dale. He has it rigged on his 45-1911 packing pastor.
All right.
There you go, man. My buddy Tom Gill said pastors need to protect their flock with a Glock. There you go. Protect your flock with a Glock.
George,
is there any way you could get this this guy on your show? Either a phone interview or maybe get him on camera. That would be.
Well, you know, it was amazing, Mark. If you watch the Steven Crowder interview, you know what he said? Rich, this is unbelievable. This old guy, he said, I'm a prisoner in my own house. He said, I never dreamed when I went out and did that I'd be a prisoner. I can't even walk out the door of my own house because people are putting cards on his house. They're putting gifts on his house. The media is out there waiting on him.
I
tried to get him, but I don't know.
To the media. He wouldn't talk to the regular media, mainstream media.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. So I'll try, man. I'll get Chad Estes to connect me down there. Maybe he can get me connected. I'll get Marty. Marty, get me connected with that guy. We have connections down there. But man, oh man, that testimony, Holy Spirit, boy, you guys got to see that. Sarah, did you try to jump in here? I'm sorry, you got walked on there once. I thought it was you. No, Roger, somebody tried to jump in.
I know Sarah tried to jump in, and I kind of, I don't know if she's thinking the same thing I'm thinking, but men must be men. And if you're married, you must be able to do it in a way that does not abuse your wife, that treats her with kindness and respect. And Sarah, I know that in your relationship, okay, you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. But I know your husband does too, and you'll follow him in a heartbeat. How do you obtain that?
How do I?
Obtain the will to follow your husband. And, you know, I mean, because I know that most women will think that most men are crazy when they're trying. How do you follow?
It's just something I want to do. It doesn't make me less of a person or less of a woman. Yeah, and what God tells me to do. Because when I read the Bible, there are black and white rules. And I choose to follow Jesus and what he said. And I know I am a weaker vessel, but that does not mean I am weak by any means. You know, just like meek doesn't mean you're weak. It's just something I feel is right.
Fellas, listen, Sarah, bless you, Sarah. Let me. Well, I'm running short on time. Let me finish with this thought.
Go ahead.
I've used this before. This is directed to men. This old boy down there, he didn't know. He's sitting in his house watching TV. He's 2 minutes away from his life changing forever. He had no idea. See, your life can change in a second, in an instant. Something can happen that will forever. You can be driving down your road, and you come upon a wreck, and your life can change forever. We never know when that's going to happen. We used to, when I was coaching football, and we would call a timeout in the last 2 minutes, and the game's on the line, and a fourth and one at the 1 yard line, and I'd call timeout, and we'd get them all together, and we'd go through their instructions. I remember, I'm talking about defense now. Say, hey, listen. Stay low, drive your feet, close that gap, pinch down, linebacker step up, don't line up too deep, defensive backs get in there. I'd go over every one of their assignments. Are you sure you do this? You know what to do? Are you okay there? Yeah, okay. Then I'd say, okay, but put your hand in here. Put your hands in here. And they'd all put their hands in there, and then I'd look at them. And the last thing I would say to them is, hey, listen, boys, somebody make a play. Because you have to be prepared. Michelle said, if you want to please the Lord, you will obey your husband if he's walking with the Lord. Hey, guys, be prepared to make the play. You never know when your time to be the hero is upon you. You never know when that's going to be. We got to get ready. Somebody has got to make a play. Man, what a great show. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.